George Smith is fighting the state. In a future world where no one is allowed to live past 70, 69-year-old George has 1 year to go. But Central Admin, the equivalent of Big Brother, has made a mistake and wants to kill him off a year early. As a result, George has found himself an unwilling activist for the OAPs. That's the old age paramilitaries.
Citizens past, customers future. My name is George Smith.
Central Administration would like to clarify that in light of the recent great computer crash, a state of emergency has been declared, and not, as previously announced, a state of panic.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace by Collins Lodge.
As power supplies are severely limited, priority has been given to essential services, namely fire, police, ambulance, and television. Normal service will be resumed within 28 days.
They always say 28 days, but that's just to cover themselves. We must act and act fast.
Well, it's presumably self-evident that the key thing is to win over the youth of today as the most fertile area for rebellion.
No, the key thing is to win over the seriously rich. And to do that, we need the media on our side. Which is why, from now on, every activity carried out by the old-age paramilitaries is being filmed by Paradise TV's fly-on-the-wall documentary team.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Don't mind us. Just pretend we're not here.
What? Mrs. Cookson, this is crazy.
They've won a lot of awards.
How can we know they won't betray our secrets?
How can we know that of anybody, George? Q?
Thank you, Mrs. Cookson. Fellow OAPs, documentary makers, pay attention, please. This is the electromagnetron. Mm. An electromagnet named after Mrs. Cookson's late husband, Ronnie. How do we strike at the very heart of the executive gold compound? We hit them, literally, in their wallets. And, in particular, at their executive gold cards.
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt, Q, but...
Mrs. Cookson, this is top secret stuff. They can't film this.
We've promised unlimited access. Every terrorist organization has to learn to become media-friendly, George.
No, I'm sorry, but no, this doesn't make sense. So long as that camera is here, I'm not. Goodbye!
Madness.
George, that was terrific. Would you mind just doing it one more time?
Yes, I would. Now clear off!
George is now angry.
Who are you?
I'm the voiceover man.
Thought you did your bit later.
It's a common misconception.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to be left in peace.
Little does George know, but a very close friend of his now lives in the Executive Gold Compound.
What?
Who? Her name is TV's Doris Smith, host of Strip University Challenge.
How did you get hold of that story?
Her friend and next-door neighbour is rival TV host Wilma P. Random.
And now back to the main news story of the day, the love affair between top TV host Doris Smith and top terrorist George Smith. Doris Smith's friend and neighbour Wilma P. Random was one of the first to hold a press conference.
Words cannot express what I feel for whoever it was that has leaked this story and surely wrecked the career of my closest friend, just as her ratings were beginning to threaten mine. Doris, I love you. Thank you.
In your own time, Miss Sunbeam.
Well, the fact is, I've always told Mrs. Cookson that Ronnie was shot by the age cops while trying to save this guy, Brian Kettle. I don't know, I just wanted to give her some grain of comfort. But the truth is, I shot him. I mean, oh God, you won't show her this, will you?
She shot my Ronnie.
How do you feel?
I wish she was dead. No, I mean, promise me you'll cut that bit, dear.
I don't blame her. Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. But, well, there's something really intimate, isn't there? Really confessional when it's just you and the camera. And the cameraman. And the sound recordist. And the lighting guy. And the voiceover man.
And by charging the magnetron with an ultra-powerful voltage, you'd create an electromagnetic field strong enough to scramble all the data stored on credit cards.
Sorry, could you hold it up a bit higher?
Oh, yeah, of course. So, not that this will happen, in fact.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, between you and me, I've recently become a spy. I've just told the cops about tomorrow's attack on Credit Central.
Credit Central?
In the Executive Gold Compound. They process all the gold cards there. It's a natural target. Oh, God, you won't show this to the others, will you?
No, of course not. The ambush will make a good moment.
I am sorry, Mrs. C. Deeply sorry.
Yes, dear, I know.
I really liked Ronnie a lot.
Yes, well, least said.
The fire really couldn't have been any friendlier.
I must say, it's lovely to see you two talking again.
There were just the three of us on the mission to the Executive Gold Compound as Q had pulled out at the very last minute complaining of a tummy ache, to which I'd made a little joke about inventors inventing excuses, which went down pretty well, particularly with the documentary team. Yeah, perhaps they weren't such a bad bunch after all. We agreed to meet up with them later in the Credit Central car park.
Book readers,
hello. Specs off and get on down to the bookshop now. Meet TV's very own Doris Smith.
Doris?
Who's currently signing copies of her new autobiography. Don't un-Doris-inate me. Right now.
An autobiography, Doris?
I suppose you want us to stop, dear.
We can't do that. We're on a mission.
Oh, please, just to see her, to know that she's happy and well.
Oh, watch her on the telly. She's doing fine.
It's not the same at all.
I understand, dear, but we can't hang around too long. Sunglasses may work wonders in spy films, but sooner or later we're going to get rumbled.
To George? Of course.
Thank you.
Best wishes, George. Love, Doris Smith. There you are, love.
Thank you, Doris.
Who's next?
I really admire your work. Just sign it to Randy.
Randy? Oh, no comment.
Look, don't let this scandal get you down.
Well, you know the media. Thank you, pet.
You are the messiah.
Who's next?
I couldn't believe that Doris hadn't recognized me. With dark glasses or no, I was her fiancé, her celebrity lover. Outside, though, I had rather more to worry about. The hover cab had vanished.
George.
Doris!
I'm so glad you waited.
I'm sorry about all this media attention. Hope it doesn't wreck your career.
Wreck it? They've just done a poll. I'm ahead of Wilma P. Random for the first time. You've put me number one.
Wilma P. Random, this was your life. Ah! It's sexy to love an OAP, say focus groups.
Here's an idea. Wilma P stars in To Be or Not To Be.
Good title, Nick. You're halfway there. What's the format?
It's like This Was Your Life, in that it's got the tears and the emotion and that special visit the afterlife after the break element, but plus, trivia.
Listen to this, Wilma P. It sounds hot.
If the oldie answers enough questions correctly, they escape the paradise pill.
Wilma P., what do you think?
What is God doing to me? Huh? I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't know that I've got time for a God who continues to mess us all around like this.
He's testing us, Wilma P.
Testing us? Is he? Testing us? Well, I'm fed up with his testing us. I mean, he's been testing humans since the year Dot. Hasn't he got anything better to do? What's the point of picking on us, God? Change your tune, because I've heard the record and I just don't like it.
Wilma P., you will be number one again. You will be.
Wait,
Yes, Jonathan.
What's the exact legal position on murder?
It's illegal, Jonathan.
Oh, right, right.
Nice car.
Yes, it's a hover Porsche.
Well, I haven't said it yet. Congratulations. You must be very proud.
Now, don't be silly, George. It's bonkers, isn't it?
No one else invented Strip University Challenge. No one else presents it. As far as the market's concerned, you're unique.
There was a boy I remember at school, Kevin Hopkins. He was the only person I've ever known who could hold his nose and blow bogies out of his ear.
Oh, Doris!
An absolutely unique gift, but I bet he's not made a fortune out of it.
Are you sure he hasn't been given a series?
Ah, look at that, George. Here we are.
Did he hold a hanky under his ear?
George, look. We're here.
Oh. The
Executive Gold Card Compound. From the air, one could see the treetops of the tropical rainforest boundary. 100-foot cedars with anti-aircraft turrets tastefully camouflaged with ferns and climbing vines. Equally high, and even more breathtaking, were the 6-paneled oak doors at the north entrance, one of which slid open as we glided down to ground level.
Welcome to the Executive Gold Compound, and allow us straight away to put your mind at ease with the reassurance that this welcome has been especially designed not to sound patronizing, because we know you're above that. Oh yes, way, way above that. The air you are now breathing is 100% mountain. Inhale at your leisure.
Will you look at that?
Yes, the safari ski slope.
I had never seen anything like it. A string of immaculately dressed skiers were slaloming down past shivering giraffes and rhinos and spraying snow over a curious sequence of wrought iron railings, which, as we hovered nearer, turned out to be zebras.
Oh, I wonder what's happening in the cricket.
The cricket?
Very much a rich man's game. It takes the pee from polo and the rest from, well, basically it's cricket on horseback.
So, it's Willis and Desert Orchid to roll now from the paddock end. And in they come. Oh! That's a very close shout for LBW. Oh, that is very close indeed.
Plumb to me!
Yes, he's gone! And we can see on the slow motion just coming up. Oh, yes! Yes, I did just seem to clip his front fetlock, Henry.
Well, that was absolutely plumb, and oh dear me, that was not the niftiest piece of hoof work one's ever seen, it has to be said.
Welcome to the Smith residence.
It's like a palace. What are all those?
Oh, they're my awards.
Best use of pre-watershed nudity in a non-violent context.
George, there's nothing to stop you being part of all this.
Yes, there is. I'm a wanted criminal, in case you hadn't noticed. Besides, don't you know what's going on out there beyond the compound? We're on the brink of revolution.
Hardly.
We could be any day now. And where is that spirit of revolt always strongest? In the young, in the students who idolize you. You have it in your power, Doris, to be a figurehead, to change the way we all live. You could spark off the revolt.
Oh, why should I want to do that, George? I'm rich. And it's very nice being rich. Revolutionaries never seem to understand that.
Now, hang on, don't answer that. You don't know who that could be.
Yes, I do. It's Dr. O'Connell.
O'Connell? Doris, he tortured me.
Hector? I don't think.
He did! Doris, no!
Hector.
Hello, Doris, love.
Guess who's here? George.
George?
Don't touch me, O'Connell.
I wasn't going to, but stop brandishing that. That thing? What the hell is it?
It's an award!
Best use of auto-cue.
No sense in being antagonistic, George. You're in the compound now. There's nowhere to run. The security system is absolutely watertight.
Mrs. Cookson and I drove through the Executive Gold security gates, disguised as nuns.
Welcome to the Executive Gold Compound.
Information, George. That's all I want.
Why should I tell you anything?
Well, let's see. That's a fair question. Let's have a think about it. I know. Doris here has inadvertently let one of the country's most wanted terrorists into the Executive Gold Compound. That could land a girl in a lot of trouble, a girl of whom you're rather fond.
That sounds very much like blackmail.
Blackmail generally does.
He's up. Shall I be, Mum?
Oh, lovely. Now, come on, George. Fill me in on all your news. Dear old Mrs. Cookson, what plans for the future? What's she up to right now?
I looked away. Dismayed though I was by Doris's lack of revolutionary fervour, I certainly didn't want to land her in any deeper trouble. But nor was I going to warn O'Connell about Mrs. Cookson's imminent attack on Credit Central. To buy time and to throw him off the scent, I said the first plausible thing that came to my head.
She's gone to the cricket ground.
Cricket ground? You mean Almighty Lords?
That's it.
Why?
She has a device. It's something scientific. I don't know what.
The magnetron.
You know it.
Have you never heard of spies, George? Except, well, I'm afraid we have a discrepancy over the location.
Oh, it was definitely the cricket ground.
Well, it won't take much to check it out. Ah, yes, this is Dr. O'Connell. Get me the Jackal.
The Jackal?
Secret Security Chief, they all have code names.
Come on, Doris, let's get out of this place.
This place happens to be my home.
You two lovebirds squabbling.
Well, at least give me the keys to your hover Porsche.
No, you'll get involved in a car chase and scratch it, I know you will.
Goodbye, Doris. Enjoy life.
George!
Oh, he's not going, is he? That is so tedious. Ah, Jack, yeah, it's Hector here. Two things now. One, I think we'd be advised to deploy some extra men at the cricket ground, have a good sniff around for Mrs. Cookson. And two, I'm afraid we've got an OAP in the compound, George Smith. Yeah, that's the one, yeah. I think it's a job for the Tigers, don't you? Okay, bye.
The Tigers? A secret security squad?
No, they're Tigers.
You're sure you're not wearing any metal?
Absolutely, Paz.
Once the magnetron is charged, the transmitter will attract everything.
Ooh, bad news if you've got a nose stud. Hey, you missed the turning.
No, I didn't.
You did, back there on the left, Credit Central.
Oh, yes, that's the turning for Credit Central.
So?
Well, it's so hard to trust anyone these days, isn't it, dear? And I'd say that applies twice as much to documentary crews. Wouldn't you?
Strange to think how a few hundred years ago the tiger had come so close to extinction, but that all changed when the prison service decided to put them to proper commercial use and trained them as security tigers.
Tigger! Tigger!
That one was very close. Too close. Sneaking along the garden hedge, I suddenly saw in the next mansion an open window. I ran for it. I had no idea what the tiger had leapt on other than, crucially, not me. Hurling myself through the window, I tangled with the curtains and tumbled onto an extraordinarily lush carpet. But why, at this hour, were the curtains shut? I waited while my eyes adjusted to the gloom. But what to do next? I shut the window. I sneaked further into the room, crept towards a sofa. There, curled on the floor, lay a woman asleep. A woman whose face I recognized. A woman known to millions. Wilma P. Random, clad only in a bathrobe. I crept past her on tiptoe. That was when I saw in her hand the empty CD case. Now that's what I call suicide, 40 songs to die for. Oh my God. She was cuddling a half-drunk bottle of scotch, and by her side lay a completely empty pill bottle. Guessing wildly at the proper first aid procedure, I ran to the kitchen for a glass of water, came back, and threw it over her face.
Am I? Where's my agent?
Wilma P., what are you doing to yourself?
Oh, a burglar? What are you doing here?
I'm not a burglar. I saw you through the window. I've just saved your life.
No, you haven't.
I beg your pardon. How many of those pills have you taken?
What pills? Well, that. That's just a designer cry-for-help bottle. They're just to put on the floor beside you when you've drunk too much. Have you called an ambulance?
No.
Shame. Right now, I need publicity. So, who are you?
Well, I'm George.
Right. I'm a TV star, by the way, Wilma P. Random, which I think you knew, but you just didn't know how to say it. So, I'm just putting you at your ease here. Oh,
thank you.
Just be yourself. I'm very good with people, actually. Do you believe in God?
What? Not recently. I haven't, no.
Me neither, George. Do I know you?
Don't think so.
Oh. Oh, well, I guess I'd better go and feed Lucky.
Lucky?
My pet.
Oh, right, a cat.
No, Thompson's gazelle, actually. He's out in the garden.
Ah.
He's quite a sight.
Yes, I should think he is. Well, I'll be off this way.
Oh, Tigger, what have you done now?
Bye.
from behind the front door, I could see Tigger's white security hover van parked in the street. Unfortunately, another guard sat in the driving seat. But not for long. He leapt out of the van to join his colleague round the back. My chance had come. I dived in and sat at the wheel, where I was immediately hit by the unmistakable smell of animal dung. Wilma P.'s screams had stopped now, but the keys, where were the keys? Suddenly the van shook.
In you get, Tigger, you naughty, naughty boy!
Stick 'em up, mister.
Look, I'm sorry about the antelope, sweetheart. I really am.
Thompson's gazelle.
In the wing mirror, I witnessed a frighteningly efficient pistol butt for a game show hostess.
I know who you are.
Me?
George Smith, OAP, Doris's lover. The man who helped her to number one.
Well, we're not lovers now.
All the better. Be my boyfriend.
Please, don't wave that gun around while you say that.
No pressure. Come on, we better tie these guys up.
Within minutes, both guards were neatly tied up and lying unconscious in a recently vacated gazelle hutch. Wilma P. and I were wearing security uniforms, and we were on our way in the hover van with Wilma P. at the wheel.
Wilma P., can you get us to Credit Central?
You hum it, I'll play it.
Do you understand Prickett at all, Andrea?
Can't see the appeal, Mrs. C. 5 solid days on horseback, and you still don't get a result.
Oops. Easy does it. There. We are connected.
So now what?
As soon as the floodlights come on, this pylon becomes a huge electromagnet, and every executive gold card is well and truly scrambled.
Uh-oh.
What, dear?
I never associate Prickett with crowd trouble.
There never is any.
So how come all those age cops have just arrived?
Age cops? No.
We've been betrayed.
No. Who could betray us?
They're searching the place.
Andrea, stay by the magnetron. I'll cause a diversion. That'll buy a minute or two. When the lights come on, throw the switch. 10 seconds will be plenty.
What are you going to do?
Never you mind.
I'll meet you by the cab.
Maybe, my dear.
Maybe.
Trust me, huh?
But I... Mrs. C. Good luck.
You too, my dear. How could they know? How?
So I told him they were at the Prickett, and you know what? I think he believed me.
I'm clever too, you know. I could be a top financier if I wanted to, in a girl next door sort of way, but the thing with TV presenting is, it's my vocation.
Shh! A few streetlights had begun to glow as we arrived at the gloomy grey building of Credit Central.
Are you sure we've got the right place?
Positive.
So where are your two friends?
No idea. They should be in the car park.
What's that?
Over there, look.
A small hover van had pulled up at the far corner of the building. As figures climbed out, I recognized them as the documentary team. They looked rather lost.
I know them. Flash the lights.
Okay. No, look. 8 cops.
And they're coming this way. They've seen us.
George, they're waving at us.
Howdy do, friends in blue. Just in time for the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Let's light that touch paper.
You said it.
Okay, you guys. Freeze.
A professional to the last. The cameraman swiveled round.
Could you shout that just one more time, please?
Ow, jeepers, that was close.
The cameraman has had a lucky escape, but someone else has been hit.
I warned you.
It is, in fact, the voiceover man.
Now, just walk around us with your hands up.
But we make documentaries. We're innocent.
That's your opinion. Now, keep those hands up.
In fact, what initially seemed like a flesh wound now appears to be more serious. He slumps to the ground. As blood begins to pour from his shoulder, his mind is in a... Little does he know that, meanwhile, a world... He is dead.
An ambulance soon pulled up, and the driver gave us a cheery wave. I had never known before quite what a sociable life it was in the emergency services. But what had happened to Mrs. Cookson and Andrea? I reached to switch on the security van's radio.
George, not that one!
Sorry!
And again now, very delicately poisoned, no doubt about it. Ah! What have we here?
It's a streaker!
Streaker indeed it is, of the female variety. I say, it's not the most fulsome of... Well, actually, she looks about 70.
47, the previous oldest, so some sort of record being set here.
She's still running towards the middle, and... that could be quite dangerous, actually, because Mike Willis and Desert Orchid hasn't seen her, and they're galloping into Bowl, which really could be...
Wilma P, that's Mrs. Cookson. We've got to get to the cricket ground.
We're going.
Now, that looks very nasty. I mean... Well, we're all for a bit of fun, but, you know, she just seemed to throw herself into the horse's path.
Well, you can be sure that's never happened before.
Some 1913 Derby.
Oh, thank you, old thing. Bill tells me it has, or something similar. The Epsom Derby of 1913, you say. I dare say you're about to tell us what her name was.
Willie Davis.
Where do you get it all from? I really don't know.
Well, as the emergency services make their way into the centre, the floodlights have chosen this moment to come on. Well, I don't know, it's rather strange. Flickering away out there.
Oh dear, your hair's standing on
edge. Look at Bill's beard.
As we pulled up in the hover van, the whole of Almighty Lords was in a state of electromagnetic shock. And what had happened to Mrs. Cookson? I was about to leap out when suddenly I saw the unmistakable face of Andrea Sunbeam, albeit in a nun's habit. An age cop had her in an arm lock, and marching alongside them was Dr. O'Connell. I pulled the peak of my cap down further as he approached the van.
This one's for central prison. They'll know where to put her. Let's open up the back.
Before anyone could move, O'Connell had yanked the back door open by the handle.
Wait, no, there's a turn. Quick, Andrea, jump in.
George, Flint.
You?
Wilma P. Random, you'll have seen me on TV.
Get in!
We were airborne in seconds. In the wing mirror, I could see a number of guards trying to prise Tigger off O'Connell with sticks, batons, and from the nearby gift shop, one or two souvenir cricket bats. As we climbed, circling the stadium, Andrea found a pair of binoculars and scanned the chaos below. You could tell which floodlight pylon had been attached to the magnetron by the heap of tin cans, rubbish bins and wheelchairs cluttered round its base.
Oh, there she is! Mrs. Cookson!
Is she okay?
She's being lifted onto a stretcher.
Just think, we could be the future of the OAP movement.
I think I'll put the radio back on.
And in the midst of this, well, quite extraordinary pandemonium, the good news, which I'm sure all listeners will be very pleased to hear, is that the horse is unhurt.
Marvellous!
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace was written by Collins Wash and starred Stephen Moore with Patsy Byrne. Also, Lorelei Kinney, Jeff McGivern, Edna Dore, Melanie Hudson, Chris Douglas, Peter Serafinovich, and Lewis McLeod. The producer was Richard Wilson.